hottest bands in Brooklyn, all here, live with me in studio, Friday nights, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Radio Free Brooklyn.
Hello, hello. Welcome to New in New York. I'm your host, Susan Russo, and I'm super happy to be back. It's been a few weeks. All the holidays kept me not busy at all, but out of town. So I've missed you. I hope you've missed listening, but like I said, excited to be back. And I'm excited for my first guest of 2020, which still feels a little weird to say. So joining me in studio today is a very cool dude. His name is Jason Siegel. Jason, welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. How are you feeling?
I'm good. I feel like you can probably tell by the voice, but it should be said this is not the Jason Siegel. This is a Jason Siegel.
Isn't it funny to have a name of a famous person but not be the famous person?
Yeah. It's a gift and a curse, I think.
It's funny because my middle name is Renee and my last name is Russo.
Mm.
So I have Renee, it's spelled differently, but I like made a reservation for Renee Russo and they're like, oh, Miss Russo. And I'm like, yes, thank you.
Right.
Have you ever used it to your advantage, like trying to get in a club or something?
It's like a good icebreaker it's like a good first sentence icebreaker.
Yeah.
Like my go-to joke is like, the TV ad's 3 feet. Because I'm short. I realize this is not a visual medium.
But he's not that short.
I'm not that short.
Ladies.
Yeah. Ladies.
You know what's funny? I date a man named Michael Jackson.
Oh, that is funny.
And that's on his driver's license and people think it's hilarious. Because he looks like not anything resembling. Anyway, we're not here to talk about celebrity, but it's funny. Anyway, so Jason, I met Jason, we worked together, and he struck me as a fascinating human being, and then he told me he had a really interesting New York story. So we're here to find out how he got here, what he's doing, what he thinks, but we're going to start off playing his first song, which, Jason, what is it? It's Clash?
It is the Clash, Lost in the Supermarket.
And then we'll talk about why you picked it when we get back, but it's a great song, so enjoy.
Yeah.
Oh, just kidding. We're starting in the middle of the song, which is not what we wanted to do. We're going to try again. Because sometimes that's what we do. We start over. It's 2020. Yeah. Sometimes we just have to start over. Okay, here for real. Lost in the Supermarket. The Clash.
I'm all lost in the supermarket. Shop happily. I came in here for a special offer, guaranteed personality. I wasn't born, so much as I fell out. Nobody seemed to notice me. We had a hedge back home in the suburb, over which I never could see. I heard the people who live on the ceiling. Shop happily. I came in here for a special offer, a guaranteed personality. I'm all tuned in, I see all the programs, I save coupons for packets of tea. I've got my giant hit discotheque album. I empty a bottle, I feel a bit free. Kids supermarket. I can no longer shop happily. I came in here for the special offer, a guaranteed personality. It's not here. In the supermarket, I can no longer shop happily. I came in here for the special offer, guaranteed personality. I'm all lost in the supermarket. I can no longer shop happily. I came in here for the special offer, guaranteed personality. I'm all lost.
That's cool. Flash is cool. Yeah. So, okay. Why did you pick it? What's that song have to do with New York to you?
That one is like more straightforward, I guess. I think it's a cool song. I listened to a lot when I first moved here.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, you know, how I felt like first living in New York and also like in grocery stores.
You just, felt lost?
Yeah, lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's literal.
There's
it's
so many like options.
I know. That's the truth about this city is there's so many options. Yeah. And we'll get to that. But let's talk about how you landed here.
Yeah.
How long have you been here?
I've been here 2 years since October.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just over 2 years.
Yeah.
And what? How'd you get here? What's the story?
So I was working as a rock climbing instructor in Central Pennsylvania.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay, we're learning all sorts of new things about guests. I love it. Okay, go ahead.
At the summer camp that I went to growing up, and I met, I was just out of college, and I met, like, the father of one of the campers was, like, came up to film a promo for the camp as a favor.
Okay.
And I just started chatting with him, and he was telling me about how he is a producer in D.C., and I was like, oh, I'm from DC and I'm like really interested in TV and film. He was like, yeah, I went to University of Maryland. I was like, oh, I went to University of Maryland.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah. And so he was like, yeah, like, and I just chatted with him for the whole time he was there and like kind of picked his brain. And then, when, near the end of camp, he was like, when you get back to DC, hit me up. Here's my card. I'll tell you about what I do. And I did. And I sat in his office for like 4 hours. And he, on like a Tuesday, I was like, don't you have to
work?
Yeah, guess not.
Producer's life.
And yeah. And he introduced me to someone he knew who was a, second assistant director for The Blacklist, the NBC show.
Yeah, sure.
James Spader.
Yeah.
And so I, reached out to this guy and I told him that I lived down the street and from like where they film and, that like I want a job. And I came up, for what I thought was a job interview.
Yes.
On like a Thursday and I, was wearing like a full, like, you know, like slacks, dress shoes, like
interview outfit.
Clothes.
Yeah.
I chatted with him for like 15 minutes during their lunch break. while he just like inhaled Crafty and like didn't really pay much attention to me, and then handed me a walkie-talkie and he was like, cool, so like you're good to work today?
Seriously?
I was like, yeah, okay. And
seriously, yeah, you just so, like started that day?
Yeah, so that was a Thursday, and I had come up on a Wednesday, and I worked an 8-hour day that day, and he was like, cool, so you're good for tomorrow? I was like, oh, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah. So like I frantically texted my friend who I was staying with in the East Village, like, dude, something came up. Can I stay another day?
So you were going to fly back?
So I was going to, yeah, take a bus back okay. that Friday.
Oh, my God.
And then I worked a 12-hour day that Friday.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, great, so you're good for Monday, right? I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I went home on Saturday, packed up all my stuff, took a bus back to New York on Sunday, and then crashed on my friend's couch for, or a different friend's couches for about 2.5 months while I just worked on different shows and kind of freelanced.
So that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You literally came up for what you thought was an interview, and then you ended up like having a job before you even knew you had a job.
Yeah.
That's meant to be. Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah. Well, so I, the other fun part was that I thought it was a job. Like I called my parents. I was like, I got a job. And what it was 3 days of day playing on a show.
Oh.
And then from there I had to, you know,
like hustle your way.
Yeah. After like that Monday when I worked, he was like, great. So you're good for like Thursday. I was like, oh yeah.
Is that how this works?
And then, yeah, I was like, okay, so should I just like wait outside Tuesday and Wednesday until you're ready for me? Or like, yeah. And so I ended up like working on the blacklist for, for like on and off for like 6 months or so.
Okay.
And then was fortunate enough to get other day playing jobs and like picked up, server jobs and like had a bunch of weird random jobs.
Okay. Those are my favorite kind of jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a lot of, I worked at like the Kellogg's Cafe, the Kellogg's Cereal Cafe in Union Square.
Really?
Yeah.
That must have been a fascinating,
view
into the world of a tourist's eyes, I guess. Like, do you think any local like New Yorkers came to that place?
Yeah. Some.
Really?
Yeah. I went actually with my friends to check it out before I worked there. I just like it was very random how I ended up working there, but it was a lot of it was, you know what it was, mostly it was middle schoolers who would like Manhattan tweens.
Oh, that makes sense.
Who would come in after school and like charge their jewels, and they would like bully me.
That's terrible. They would,
like, yeah, they would like leave a mess and then like look me in the eyes and like ask for their jewel back and then clean up.
Oh my God. That's the worst.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Middle schoolers are the worst.
Yeah.
Teenagers, worst.
Yeah. New York, I mean, Manhattan, like.
Well, they're precocious. They've lived this life that not many, like.
It's like, there's no scarier creature than a middle school tween, I think, or a Manhattan tween.
Oh boy. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. And if you want to listen to us when you're not in front of your computer, please consider downloading our free mobile app for iPhone and Android, available in the App Store for iPhone or the Google Play Store for Android. So you can hear content like this gem of a story Jason just shared with us. Yeah, that's the worst. But how fascinating to come here and literally before you even moved here, you're working.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was crazy. I thought, yeah, life is weird sometimes. And it just feels like it was meant to be. You're supposed to be here, don't you think?
Yeah, it felt like it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to play another song. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to go down the list.
Yeah.
Did you say we should skip Because I'm Me?
If you want to.
I really love this song.
Yeah.
We're going to play
Let's do it.
It's the Avalanches.
I love it.
It's real fun. Okay, here we go. Hopefully.
If she don't love me, what can I do? Just put on my best pair of shoes, of course. So, she said, he's the one that drill a charm, honey, that's gone on. I just want to know what's wrong with me, being in love with you.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Suede, the Rango jacket, ball slang, glow, Bronx's only Django. Snappy, a golfer, stopper, that's where my pops go. That's where my pops went. See, my percentage is a pennant to the planet. Knock it out the ballpark, flank it. I should not tie this tie to a better log. Let the wings spread. It'll always come back, baby. Come back, shellac, black, baby. A comeback, flat, black, pink on the Chevy.
The Avalanches, because I'm me. I was telling Jason, which, by the way, this is Radio Free Brooklyn you're listening to. New in New York. I'm your host, Susan Russo. Guest, Jason Siegel. Not that Jason Siegel. A better one. He's funnier. Smarter. Handsomer.
Yeah,
but anyway, I was telling him I knew this song, but I didn't know what it was or who sang it. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Does that connect to New York to you?
The music video is like a Jackson 5 era Michael Jackson type looking kid, like dancing in the subway.
Oh, fun.
And it's just a really fun music video. But also, it's when I first half moved here. And I was staying at a friend's apartment in the East Village. I would come back from work a lot, and he would be playing this song on like a record player.
Yeah.
And it just felt like a very like New York
that's
moment.
Like cool.
Yeah.
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 The record player is so new. I mean, it's everywhere. But
yeah.
I said once, I think you weren't allowed to live in Brooklyn if you didn't have a record player.
Right. Like, it comes with the lease.
It comes with the lease.
Yeah.
So you were living on a couch for like
Various couches
for the first few months.
Yeah, because I moved here with the only money I had was like the money that I made as a like camp counselor, rock climbing instructor person.
Yeah.
So
which probably didn't get you super far in New York.
No, that was like maybe 1 month's rent.
Yeah.
Plus like living here, plus like you know, the cost that of moving from cities.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was very fortunate that I had a good group of friends that lived here. And so I was able to, you know, be on a friend's couch for like 3 nights at a time.
Yeah.
And then go to, you know, go from the East Village to Astoria, Queens and be in Astoria, Queens for 2 nights and then go to Park Slope and be in Park Slope for 2 nights and then...
That's cool. So yeah. You got a real, you got to know the neighborhoods. I mean, you didn't really probably get to know them that well, but you were in a ton of neighborhoods, right, when you got here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got to know the neighborhoods pretty well just from being a production assistant.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, because that...
They're sending you everywhere.
Yeah, I'm in on a different street every day, and I'm on that street for 16 hours.
Yeah. That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
What a cool way to get to know the city, though.
Yeah.
So had you been here before, or what was your experience with the city before you moved here?
Yeah. I grew up going here like pretty frequently because my I have an aunt and uncle that lived in Fort Lee, New Jersey.
Okay.
Like right across one of the bridges.
Okay. So many bridges in this city.
Too many bridges. 21 bridges. There's
and
a
that's
movie.
A movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, that can't be true, but it is. There's 21 bridges connecting out of the boroughs to New York City.
And they're all in danger. So Chadwick Boseman, get on it.
he saves the day. Spoiler. I kill everything. I ruin everything. So your aunt and uncle were here.
Yeah, so I went up a lot. And my family is just like very, very New York, like, Jewish kind
okay.
of
okay
just that kind of nervous energy and like inherent anxiety
okay
that's like it but like in a fun way so I grew up coming here a lot and I grew up kind of the shows I watched and the movies I watched and the things I was into were very like New York central so I don't really remember a time ever in my life where I was like, where am I going to go after college? Like
knew
it just felt like, yeah, I go also because I'm interested in television and film and mainly comedy.
Yeah.
It was kind of like you go to LA or you go to New York.
Right.
And like the things that I own are closer to New York already.
So that's the good, the good place.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a good place. So you kind of knew what you were getting into. But like I know living here is very different than coming for like 5 days or a weekend.
Oh, yeah.
What was the most like shocking thing when you got like living here? When did you settle? Like when did you find your first apartment?
Oh, yeah. Good question. I was doing that kind of like hustling thing for I want to say like 2 months ish until. Okay. I had made enough money for a deposit
right.
to sublet an apartment.
Okay.
So moved to my first apartment was in Ridgewood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in like the cusp of Brooklyn and Queens.
Okay. That's a very cool neighborhood, yes.
Yeah, I loved living there. I only have positive things to say about it.
That's good.
Except for the building I lived in, which was not great. But besides that, the neighborhood I really liked a lot. I lived there for 3 months and then I lived at my aunt's apartment in Fort Lee, New Jersey while she was in Arizona for the winter. So that I was very fortunate that I was able to live like I paid her a little bit.
Yeah.
Just kind of as a
thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was basically able to live rent free for 6 months, which I'm very fortunate that I had relatives here that allowed me to do that.
Yeah. That's yeah. So Jason, there's so many, I want to talk about so many things with him, but Jason has an LCD Sound System song, the New York I Love You But You're Bringing It Down, bringing me down, but we're not going to play it. But what's that song? They have a song that says New York is great if someone else pays your rent.
I think that's a direct line from the...
Yeah, it's literally, that's like
nah,
the best.
It's something like that, yeah.
I don't want to say it's the best way to live in New York, because part of being here is sort of struggling and figuring out how you're going to pay your rent, but goddamn, it makes it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was very fortunate that I had like a group of friends and like some family here. I know it can be really difficult when you don't have that, but there's also like, I mean, there's sublet situations that are affordable.
Yeah.
Like I feel like people are like, you can't get an apartment for less than $12K a month.
Yeah.
Like, I was living in a place that was like $750 or $800.
That's the thing. I think when before you move here, you just think it's everything is unattainable, but you really can find.
Yeah. And I mean, I loved the neighborhood and I loved the apartment. It was just like there were separate unrelated issues with the building. But there's like you just have to really be diligent and like really kind of make it your job to look for a place. Like it's almost
looking
your full time job.
Looking for a place is a job. Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's like my dad always says, looking for a job is a full time job and looking for a place is a full time job.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to play another song and I want you to pick.
Oh, okay.
Unless we should just go down the list.
We could do Capable is a great song.
Okay,
by the Wild Reeds.
Okay, we're going to do it. And then we're going to talk about what we started talking about, how like what the different like what like any culture, not culture shock, but any shock when you moved here officially and not just visited. We'll talk about that when we finish listening to Capable by the Wild Reeds. Which is going to happen in a second. Because I'm slow on the go. Okay.
He says you're awful young for 21. You've got some work to do. Bite your pencil harder than you were planning to. You daydream slow, you sleep too quick, you need a sharper view. There's much more out there than someone who's lying next to you. He said you're capable of so much more than these people give you credit for, and you just need to show it. On my feet, I fear the harsh regard. But friend, if you'd encourage me, I know I'd make it far. You said I'm capable of so much more than these people give me credit for, and I just need to show it.
Yeah.
you said I am capable of so much more than these people give me credit for, and I just need to show it. Oh, I'm capable of so much more than you people give me credit for, and I just need to show
back. That's cool. The Wild Raids.
Yeah, they're great.
Now, what's that song mean to you?
It was like the Wild Raids were one of the first bands that I, like, new bands that I learned about when I got here. And I was like, oh, this is like what living in New York is, like learning new bands. They're like an LA band, I learned, but like,
you can pretend.
Yeah, but they, like, it just felt very, like one great thing about living in New York is that any musician or artist or comedian that you like will probably be here in the next year.
Yeah.
If they're touring.
They live here.
They're at your nearby coffee shop.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
But like they became kind of like a bucket list band that I wanted to see.
Oh, okay.
And it was kind of like, oh man, like now that I'm here, I have the opportunity, and I did, and I wasn't able to go to the concert.
Oh no.
I know, but
was it work? Did work get in the way?
Yeah, it was work stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but I mean that song is also just like a very good song to listen to when you're I feel like a young person and in a job that is
not
the bottom of the totem pole. Just because it's like you're capable of things and you're not
no one's letting you do
which like
what you can
I mean they probably shouldn't for a lot of reasons, but like it's nice to think that if they did, you could.
And you can. Jason's very talented. He's good at what he does. He's good at a lot of things in the sense of working, and I sing his praises.
So if you're hiring.
Exactly. He's available.
I'm available.
At Jason Siegel. S-I-E-G-E-L.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
DM, slide into his DMs and offer him a job. So we were talking about this. Well, we switched gears, but I was curious about the transition of like visiting here and then moving here.
Yeah.
And like what you noticed were glaring differences or like anything that stood out to you as like, oh, I live here now. This is different than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a big thing, like a thing that people ask me about when they visit me.
Yes.
Is like, or is something people said to me a lot when I first moved here is like, oh man, you must be in such good shape, like walking everywhere, like doing all these cool things all over the city. Like you must be like walking like 10 miles a day and like doing, it's like, which I guess is what I expected when I first, lived here.
Yes.
And that's like, then I learned that you have to have a job.
Right.
to live in New York. That kind of makes your life, like you take the train to a place in the morning, you walk from the train, from your house to the train, you walk from the train to where you work, and then in this in what I did, which is like working on film sets, you get off really late. So there's not a lot of time to do things after work. So right. you end up spending a lot of your time just commuting to and from work and yeah. then being at work.
Yeah.
So learning like, and I, and that's definitely something that I got better at the longer that I lived here, which is, like understanding your commute and understanding like how to have a work-life balance.
Right.
Like how that, I mean, and maybe this is just an adult thing that I'm only learning recently. But having to like really schedule your fun.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Cause you have to work hard to afford yourself in oh, the yeah. city. So you're always
yeah.
like, you have to hustle and you have to work. And even once you have a job, you're still like, oh, like you said, your yeah. hours are crazy and you don't just get to leave work at 10 and party till 2 and then sleep in till 1 p.m. the next day. You have yeah. to be back. It's a grind. It's a real grind.
Yeah. Well, for the first like 6 months, because I was staying at someone else's place, I had to go around their schedule.
Yeah.
And like the way production works on TV and movies is like you're usually they usually schedule a 12-hour day. That's how like they fit in everything in one day. They do like usually a minimum of 12-hour days on like big scripted shows. So I would have to be at work at like 8. That's minimum 12 hours. So it'd often be like 15, 16 hours.
Yeah.
The
norm is not 12. It's more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
12 is, yeah, sadly kind of short.
Like, well, that's the luckiest day in the of the week if you only work 12 hours.
Exactly. So I would have to often like leave the house at 6 and then get home at like 9. And then, you know, like wait at a cafe or bar or something nearby until my friend got home from the bar that he was at because or like uptown or just like meet him at a bar and kind of crash his plans. So for the first like 6 months that yeah. I lived here, I mean, definitely the first 3 months when I was like crashing on people's couches, there was my social life was just whatever was the most convenient for
the person you were staying with.
Yeah. And then even after that, you know, you're so tired from, you know, working these crazy hours that like you get home and you're like, okay, I have 5 hours to sleep for the next day. And then
not enough.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do
you know
what?
I think because I spent my 20s in Chicago
mm-hmm.
and I worked a lot in production, in TV. But the life outside of that was so much easier than New York. Like I wasn't commuting. I wasn't like, it just seems like it's got to be a lot harder in this city to have a life when you're working those 12 to 15 hour, 16 hour days.
Yeah.
And then you got to get on a train and maybe spend 40 minutes to an hour getting home or what yeah. have you. That's hard.
Yeah. When I lived in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I didn't have a car because, you know, it was
you just
like,
don't have a car.
It was, yeah. And it was like an awkward distance. It was like too close to the bridge to warrant a car,
yeah.
but like too far to walk.
Okay.
It was like a 40 minute walk in.
Oh, wow.
And I was living there like mainly in the winter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I would take, I had to wait for a bus that came once an hour.
Oh, God.
And then, take the bus to the bridge and then take a carpool. Or a second bus to the train station on I think 180th or 160th, something like that.
Okay.
And then take a train downtown to Chelsea Piers where the Blacklist studio was.
Wow.
So that was like it was like a 2 hour commute.
Wow.
So if I had like a 6 a.m. call, I was up at like 3 a.m.
Wow. That's when you really know you want something. And yeah. that's like wow.
Yeah.
That's super impressive.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, yeah. I mean, like I was telling you before, like I used to work in advertising, doing advertising stuff and
doing advertising stuff.
Like copywriting
okay.
stuff. copywriting is what it is.
I'm just giving you shit.
And yeah, so that was like my plan A. Or I'm sorry, my plan A, my dream was like to work in comedy.
Yes.
And then I was like, oh, well, that's hard. I'll just like write funny like Geico commercials. That seems like a good safe bet.
Yeah.
And then I learned that like to write copy at that level, like those people, it's like really intense and incredibly competitive.
Yes.
As you would imagine.
Sure.
And I was like, if I'm gonna, you know, totally bust my ass to do my backup job, like my backup plan, why not just like bust my ass to do my dream job? So it became, I had no backup plan at that point, really. Because I was like, I kind of gave up. I mean, not that, you know, there's no going back. But,
right. You can, but. Yeah,
but I didn't want it.
I think you're on a good path. You're on a good path. Oh. So when you got here, did you have, oh wait, P.S. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is New in New York. I'm Susan Russo, the host. We're talking to Jason Segel. It's fascinating. I like it. Been here about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And has hustled his little pants off. But so did you have like a favorite, I guess, because you were moving around so much when you got here, did you have any like place that felt like home, or did you find a place in the city that you went to the most, like a park or a bar or a museum, or did something, did you connect with a place?
I mean, really it was like wherever I was sleeping.
Okay.
Because like the nature of, again, like working in television and film, like on sets, you're in a different location every day.
Yeah.
The most stability I ever had was if I was like staying on the same couch for a week.
Okay.
So yeah. That became it. But I mean, like, I guess home base was like my good friend Gabe's apartment in a like tiny apartment in the East Village. Like you could touch both walls.
Really?
Standing in the middle, both sides. Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was very generous to let me stay, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like the, oh my God, what is the dog park that's near, in the East Village?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. That's killing me. That's so sad. But,
yeah.
Tompkins Square Park.
Yes.
yeah. Tompkins Square Park was like a good go-to place if I had like some time on the weekend to just like think about my life and if everything I'm doing is a mistake.
It is not. And on that note, I want to get to another song, and we have two more left.
Oh,
so choose wisely, sir.
Okay. I'm gonna do.
So hard.
While of the Moon. By Phony People.
Okay, great. Okay, here we go. So hard to find.
That's why I love the moon. Every night it's there for you. It's constant, unlike these human beings who lie about what it seems to be. You think the earth is where you stand. That's why I love the moon, 'cause it's always there for me. Every night above my window, and that's why I love the moon, 'cause it's always there for me. Every single night I look outside. Right there for me and my mind.
consume my love in the wrong way, so I send it up at night, at night, at night. Real love so hard to find, just when you think you found it, the illusions in your eyes, it blinds. So be careful where you look for love, just be careful where you look for love. Real love so hard to find, just when you think you found it, the illusions in your eyes, it blinds us all. So be careful where you look for love. Just be careful where you look for love.
Yeah. That's why I let the moon shine.
Cause through the time I've been confused on how to move on.
Stuck in between what wasn't and what could be the truth, huh?
Still up trying to escape the demons in my mood.
You see, it's no change dropping, we learn to maintain. Yup, and how could anybody else for pain when they brainwashes and watches every time we make exchanges?
We're slaves.
Locked in a box and use our minds just to escape all the same. I'm tired of the pain, love is blind to the flame. That's why I look up, never hide behind the skies in the rain. Promises cook up, exercising, don't deny you the pain. That's why I look for ways to find whatever lies in the rain. Shit changed. I don't blame my father for lamping. I believe that help. With me trying to grow, it's just still trying to grow as myself. So understand it when I'm branded, taking chances. No, I need that fool. Flat on my back, cause just relax and keep your seat back. Cause when you think, that's when you let time run and escape with your mind. Loving, that's what you think. So what you think? If love was easy to find, we wouldn't need it to complete our lives. So,
peace the moon, peace the stars, peace the sun.
I like that. I didn't know. Phony People?
Yeah. Great. Great band.
That's a great song.
Great band to see live if you ever have the chance.
Okay.
Yeah, they're really good.
Are they New York?
No. Yeah, yeah. I think they are all from different parts of New York. Or
okay.
Different. Some of them are from New York at least.
Well, I like them.
Yeah, they're.
I like that.
They, yeah, they're really good.
Okay. Jason just told me two fucking great stories. Pick one and tell one.
Oh, God.
They're both about the fascinating people you meet in the city.
Yeah. I mean, I can try to tell abridged of both.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. One was the first apartment that I lived in New York, like when I was still crashing on couches, and then like lived at my aunt's place in New Jersey. I was like trying to find an apartment and finally found this one in Ridgewood and was like really hesitant about it. It was a sublet, like month to month. So it was like low risk, but still really nerve-wracking to, you know, officially make the move to New York.
Yeah.
Even though I'd been there for a few months. And I came home like 11 p.m. I came home from like a, you know, 14-hour day on set. And I was staying in at my friend's East Village apartment. And he like had ordered weed for delivery. And the as you do in New York. And the weed delivery woman was like chilling on the floor, had her like suitcase out with like the many varieties of strains and packets and things, and they were like sharing a glass or a bottle of wine. And I came home and I was like, I just looked at this apartment, and like, I don't know what I should do. Like, it's cool, but like, this is my first apartment. It's so scary. And we had this like really intense heart to heart, where I learned that she was had like a PhD in like neuroscience, something like that. And
I mean, what?
Yeah, it was just like a delivering weed as like for the biking community that it
cultivated
that
for
it
her.
Cultivated for her. And yeah, it's just like a fascinating person. And she was the reason why she was like chilling on the floor of the apartment drinking wine with my my friends was there was like a known weed dealer jumper, like someone
really?
That like yeah lurks around and like, because you know they carry a lot of cash
yeah,
and
yeah
weed weed. Drugs
yeah.
And she was like, yeah, like this guy was spotted outside the building, so I'm just chilling here for a bit until the coast is clear.
Wow.
Yeah, and in that time she like moved me to move to Ridgewood, to New York. And
the people you meet here, it's so cool.
Yeah. And it was just like
random,
like, yeah, just very strange people. And then
that's the good story.
I moved to a place in Williamsburg, and I was sleeping on a twin bed in this like basically like a Harry Potter type closet. And the subletter was like kind of a strange dude, but seemed fine. But like as I lived with him, I would just notice weird things. Like he was kind of a compulsive liar. Like he would just lie about. Like we were watching Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, the yes. Jerry Seinfeld show. And he was like, yeah, my Jerry Seinfeld's mom tried to set me up with his brother.
What?
Because like I know her from the fashion world or something. And I was like, I don't remember if this was exactly what it was. It might have been the guest. But I was like, yeah, I don't think he has a brother.
Yeah.
Or who the guest doesn't. I don't think that person exists. It's like, oh, maybe it was someone else. I don't know. Like, I was just catching these really, weird, yeah. stupid lies. And then the last month that I lived there, he like went out of state and stopped responding to texts and calls. And then I moved out and couldn't get in touch with him to get my security deposit back, which is like $900 or something.
This is a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot.
You
and
need it.
For that, I mean, that was like half of the money that I had
yeah.
to my name.
Yeah.
I was really counting on that for my next move. And then I like contacted the landlord of the building, and he was like, yeah, we haven't heard from him. This was like 3 months later of not hearing from him. He was like, we haven't heard from him in months. He hasn't been paying rent for months.
Oh my God.
And he's just been pocketing it, and also hasn't been paying Con Ed or like any of his bills. And got the electricity and gas shut off in the whole, like, it was like a 3-apartment building.
Yeah.
And he apparently fled the state with, he stole around $17,000.
Oh my God. Those two stories are like the ultimate, the good and the bad about the people you meet in New York City.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just crazy.
But,
you know, it just feels like that's just New York.
The dichotomy of.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, we're coming to the end of the hour.
Oh.
And I wanted to say, thank you for listening to New in New York, which is what you are listening to. And thank you to Jason Siegel.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Our guest, who was brilliant. And I think that's an actually really great way to end the show. I just wanted to say, I did all my thank yous. So anyway, I'm Susan Russo. I'll be back next Tuesday with another fascinating human being. So tune in again. But in the meantime, let's go out with our final song. What should it be? Let's see.
Let's do... Okay.
How long is Punch You in the Jeans? Because that's funny.
That is probably a perfect amount of time. That's a great song. I one of the things I'm most proud of is I got to write an article for this website that I like a lot called Stereo Gum.
Oh, yeah.
About the 10-year anniversary of Incredibad. And
for dummies, what is that?
Incredibad is the first album, the first studio album from The Lonely Island, which is Andy Samberg, Yorma Taccone, and Kiva Schaefer, SNL guys, and now even more famous guys.
Yeah.
And which is just an album that was really special to me my whole life.
Yeah.
About just like from Jews who like hip hop. So it was great. And yeah, so that was a really exciting milestone of living in New York, of feeling like, oh, I'm getting to do cool creative stuff.
Yeah.
And then later I got to see them twice in one weekend.
Oh, we don't have time for that, but
yeah,
good for you.
Just from friends that are generous and cool things that happened and money. I paid for tickets.
Life is good. Okay, we're ending with The Lonely Island. We're taking you home with Punch You in the Jeans.
These days, a lot of cats is out of line.
Seems to me like they need to get punched.
Yeah, but where you gonna punch them?
Yo, the choice is obvious.
I'll punch you in the jeans. I'll punch you in the jeans. This is not a case of men versus machines.
You think that you're safe? Thought you got away clean?
I'll roll up on you smooth and punch you in the jeans.
Got my fist clenched. Gonna throw a haymaker. Rocking your slacks from here to Jamaica. Shaking your boots cause I'm the earthquaker. Bringing those jeans round here was a mistake.
I got a vendetta. It's against your jeans. Gonna put my knuckles up against the seams. They could be on your legs or on the clothesline. But when I see the zipper and cloth, it's go time.
And I'm zeroed in. I got the tunnel vision.
Gonna cover you in shit like a ton of pigeons.
Man, I hate your jeans. I'm gonna bruise that denim.
It really doesn't matter as long as you're in on.
Yo, I'll punch your jeans. We said it before. Best believe this is not a metaphor. Better watch your back, cause we're on the creek. And we won't stop till your jeans are 6 feet deep. Man, I'll murder your jeans. I'll feed them to the fishes. Here's what I'd do if I had three wishes. Punch your jeans on all three counts. It would bring me satisfaction in large amounts.
Yo, if I had three wishes, I would do the same. We see eye to eye in this jean punch game.
Yeah.
I'd lay them in a field where there's chemical spraying, but I'd punch them first.
Yo, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
Acid wash pleats or a nifty cuff. It's just another jean for my fist to stuff.
Throwing fisticuffs, eat pants like back lunches. Jeans pronounced dead.
Cause of death?
Heck of punches.
Yo, we'll punch your jeans. We said it before. Best believe this is not a metaphor. You got something to say, we got the proper retort. Beat your jeans so bad that they wish they were short.
Gonna revise your Levi's with physical harm.